Well, bless your hearts. Let's take our Bibles and go to Acts chapter 5. Today I want to cover a little more on prayer before we continue on the five areas that I gave in preparation, five areas to prepare yourself to receive from God and to prepare to be determined for deliverance. We started the study series by looking at records in Matthew where Jesus Christ performed healings of all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. And I want to show you that it did continue. In Acts chapter 5, starting in verse 14, it says, "And the believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes, both of men and women, insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. There came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folk and them that were vexed or troubled, harassed with unclean spirits, and they were healed, every one." So the dynamics and the power that the first century church walked with, it continued, that the availability of healing of all manner of sickness and all manner of disease continued, and it should continue even in our day and time. Last week, I began sharing on the importance of prayer in being determined for deliverance, because the people, they came from cities outside of Jerusalem, coming to Jerusalem to get healed, to get delivered, to receive healing of all manner of sickness and receive healing of all manner of disease. And it says they were healed, every one. Now, God hasn't changed. So the only thing that could have changed is people's thinking in regard to that. The major point in your prayer and being determined for deliverance is that you are convinced that what you had prayed for will come to pass. Both ways, whether you are the one needing deliverance or the one who is going to minister deliverance, but both have to be convinced, or should be convinced, that is available and that is what is going to come to pass. And I taught you'll need some time alone so that you can get focused, to get away from the world. Remember that record in Mark 1:35. It says, "Arising up a great while before day, he," Jesus, "went out into a solitary place and there prayed." Well, he was preparing himself and wanted to really set his heart. And at times it's going to take time to get away from the distractions. It may take time. Are you willing to invest the time? That's a good question. A lot of people want deliverance, but they're not willing to invest the time in order to really get the deliverance. We do in the senses area, where I have a doctor's appointment, I set time aside to go to the doctor. And I'm sure not to miss my appointment or arrive late for my appointment or anything like that. But when it comes to the spiritual side, if you are really convinced, like these records that we see, healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease, and they were all healed, or they were healed, every one, that's a pretty good track record in the healing category. So are you willing to invest the time? In the record, of course, it talks about that Jesus in Luke 6:12, he prayed all night. He spent in time for prayer. And that's generally in times of major life-changing events, but certainly healing and deliverance in some of these categories is a life-changing event. And it merits spending that much time in prayer. It's not a question really of the time that you spent in prayer, except that when you finished, you are fully convinced that you're going to receive what you are asking for, what you're requesting. But on the other hand, we saw that our Lord arose early a great while before day and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. He's our example. So if it took our Lord that much time, are you willing? You know, the question is, are you willing to invest the time in your prayer life to accomplish these things? And also, we went through the record in, I believe it was Matthew 26, where Jesus prayed three times. Remember, he went with Peter, James, and he went with all the all of the apostles except for Judas, and then he went apart with Peter, James, and John, and three times he went there. And in one of the situations, he said to Peter, "Could you not pray with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, or could you not watch with me 1 hour?" So, you know, there was at least an hour of prayer there, you know, I know. And then he went three times. I'm sure God heard him the first time. But Jesus Christ, you know, under the tremendous pressures and things and knowing what's going to happen to him, he went back three times to really set his heart. So these are some of the great points in our preparation to be determined for deliverance, prayer. In describing the needs of mankind, we've often spoke of them as surpassing scientific discovery and development, exceeding the scope of nature and reaching beyond the helping hands of human kindness. Not all men and women's needs fall in these categories, but if we have a God who is able to do in those categories, certainly in the lesser categories, he certainly should be right there with his ability. We have a Heavenly Father who is mighty to do wondrous works, and he certainly can bring deliverance in every area of need. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 32, and I wanted to share some things with you. I was talking with Warren the other day, and we got on this Hebrew word, palah, and we were looking at different areas, and I checked this out in regard to this word. In Jeremiah 32, verse 27, it says, "Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me?" The word hard is this Hebrew word, palah. It means to be marvelous or to be extraordinary. It is to be beyond human power and expectation, beyond one's own power to do, in order to do wondrous works. Isn't that beautiful? It's beyond the bounds of human power and expectation. So a person may say, "I'm not expecting God to do that for me." I say, "Great, because he's an expert in that, in those things which are beyond what you expect." So have great expectations because he is that wonderful and he is that good. In Ephesians, the great record in Ephesians chapter 3, you'll turn with me there. In taking the time to pray, and this is part of the time to pray, some of the things to consider in your prayer, to consider in your prayer are these great records of God's ability, God's willingness to do, God's willingness to heal. So that you leave absolutely confident that what you have prayed for is going to be done. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, it says, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." Isn't that tremendous? The point is that God can do wondrous works. What is your need? What is your need? For the children of Israel, with Moses, he parted the Red Sea and they walked across on dry land. He guided them with a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. What is your need? He is wondrous in power and generous in mercy and great in compassion. What is your need? So those are the kinds of things you want to take the time in your prayer to set. Not that God needs to know it, he already knows it, but that your heart knows it. Your heart believes it, so that when you make requests, whether it's for yourself or on an intercessory situation for another person, you leave knowing that it's going to be done. When I was in training, one of the things I loved doing, and I did it very often, I would get up 4:30 in the morning, or even 4 o'clock in the morning, or, you know, times like that, and I would go to the prayer room where we had people send in requests of things that they wanted prayer for. And I would read through those things, and in my mind, it was always, well, that one's taken care of. You know, I'm blessed to be able to be here, and here's one from somebody. They need such and such. Great. It's in the bag, so to speak. I just had that mindset that what I prayed for, what they requested, I went in there to be a part of seeing that they received what they had requested. So, you know, to know that he can do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Well, I can ask for a lot of stuff, but he can even go beyond that. I can think and imagine a lot of great things, but he even exceeds that. We tend to want to limit it and say, oh, let's see, you know, maybe that's too much for God. Is there anything too hard for me? He is the God of all flesh. I don't care what kind of flesh you have. He is the God of all flesh. If there is a problem with your flesh, I can assure you he can fix it. He has not lost the owner's manual. He knows how to fix it. And there is not a sickness, there is not a disease that can attack your physical body that God cannot deliver you from. And we should be absolutely confident. So, when I am preparing and I'm getting ready to pray, one of the things that I do one of the things you can do is Ephesians 3:20. He can do exceeding abundantly above all that I can ask or think. So let's get on this need and let's get it taken care of. The New International Version of Ephesians 3:20 reads, "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine according to his power at work within us." Isn't that a beautiful one? Especially for the born-again believer, one who has confessed Jesus as his Lord, believed in his heart God raised him from the dead, and you're born again of God's Spirit. He's got something he can really work within that, within you. The Weymouth translation reads, "Now to him who in exercise of his power that is at work within us is able to do indefinitely beyond our highest prayer or thoughts." Aren't they beautiful? It would be worthwhile just getting up early one morning just to read the different translations of Ephesians 3:20. You can find it on biblos.com. When it comes up, you know, click on the parallel Bible. It'll give you all the different ways the verses are translated, other verses that you would like to read. And just spend the morning reading those and before your prayer. So it's pretty neat. I guess it's called Bible Hub. Now, but I still put Biblos in out of habit, and it comes up. So either way, you can find it, but it's a great way to read several different translations of that one verse because they all they all agree that God can do beyond what we could ever imagine. He can do beyond what we can pray for, what we can ask or think, and he is willing to. So very wonderful thing to do. And remember, God is no respecter of persons. So if he will do it for one, why would he not do it for you? Or the person you are praying for? That's what I love about our Amicus Alliance. We have people that, you know, have committed themselves to pray for situations, either regarding the ministry or other things. We have them praying for countries. We have them praying for a lot of different things. But I am just so blessed because they have determined that they're going to spend time in prayer claiming those things for people that they have never even met and perhaps people they will never, ever meet. But we're concerned. We want to exercise the authority and the power God has given to us because we so love, because he so loved us. When it talks about the good works and things, that's one of the good works. See, God can do marvelous works in us and for us, all manner of sickness and all manner of disease, and even more than that. Let's go to Genesis. I wanted to show you another usage of this word, Pelah, that Warren shared with me. And I thought you'd be blessed to look at it. Of course, it's a record that you're familiar with, but I thought it would be nice to look at it this morning. In Genesis chapter 18, we'll start in verse 11. Abraham had been visited by three men, and he had a vision from God, and God had spoke to him in the plains of Mamre. And while he was sitting in the tent door, and verse 11, it says, "Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age." I believe Abraham was 99 and Sarah was 90 at the time. And it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. So the ability to have children from a physical perspective, just from a biological, physical perspective, was no longer available for her. "Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, 'After I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also?' Verse 30, "And the Lord said unto Abraham, 'Wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child which am old?'" Of course, the promise was that Abraham would be the father of many nations, and that he would have a son. And it says, verse 14, "Is anything too hard?" That's that word, Pelah, beyond the power of human ability, or beyond human power and expectation. And it said, "Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son." So it didn't say Sarah's going to adopt the son or any of the other things. It says Sarah's going to have a son. Now, I know there were significant situations in regard to this, but God is still no respecter of persons. And he is a wonderful God, and he will deliver us from all types of sicknesses and all types of diseases, and even with old age, that's not a factor for God. So is there anything too hard, anything too difficult for him to accomplish, anything beyond his wonderful works? Look, if he could cause the Red Sea to stand up on a heap so that the children of Israel could pass over on dry land, I'm sure he can handle the human body. it's a tremendous record. Look at the 108th 107th Psalm. Let's go to Psalm 107. And again, this is a familiar psalm to most of you, and it'd be nice to read it through and put emphasis on the different areas, but I wanted to look at verse 8. Because it says in verse 8 of the 107th Psalm, "Oh, that man would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men." The words "wonderful works" is that word pala. It's used so many times. I had the number this morning and I've forgotten what it was, but it's used a lot in the Old Testament. And it's extraordinary, beyond human power and expectation. Are you willing to receive this wonderful work for you? Are you willing to receive this wonderful work in those that you pray for? That's a good question. What are your expectations? It's beyond human expectations, but not beyond God's. Why not expect what God expects? We're allowed to. See, now particularly in prayer, I want to go to Romans 8 because I want to look at how it functions in intercession for others. Certainly, like I say, he's no respecter of persons, so he will do for you. And what he has done for others, he will do for you. And what he does for you, he will also do for others. So let's take a look at these great records here in Romans chapter 8. And it says in verse 26, "Likewise, the Spirit also helps with our infirmity, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought." This is great. So the purpose, one of the purposes of the Spirit of God within us when we confess Jesus as Lord, believed in our hearts, God raised him from the dead, we're born again of God's Spirit. One of the purposes of that Spirit within us is to help with our infirmity in regard to prayer. It says it right here. "For we know not what we should pray for as we ought," but we do know we ought to pray. Sometimes we don't know what to pray about. You know, God certainly understands English and whatever is your primary language, he understands that too. But this prayer by the Spirit, it handles those things that we don't know what to pray for. I don't know many times what the situation, I may know someone's sick, I may even know what disease they're considering that they have or the doctors have considered that they have. How they got it, I don't know. How it's going to be gone, I don't know. I know God is going to get rid of it. But I do know I can speak in tongues in my prayer life for that individual, and it is perfect prayer for that individual because it says the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. It's a figure of speech because you do utter them. But what is being uttered is beyond our understanding, beyond our comprehension, and even beyond our compassion. That's how wonderful the Spirit of God within us is in regard to intercession, intercessory prayer. Again, that's my great love for the Amicus Alliance. I love all believers, but in what we're doing as an Amicus Alliance in our prayer for individuals that goes beyond our comprehension. I don't know what's going on in some of these countries. I hear tell, but, I hear a lot of things from the news that apparently is a lot of baloney and some things are true. I don't know, but I do know God knows, and I do know the Spirit of God at work within me when I speak in tongues. It helps my infirmity. It helps my not knowing what's going on. It helps me because I don't even have to get into the details. Gosh, is that going to work? Or all I have to do is pray for the individual and speak in tongues and it makes intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. It goes beyond my comprehension, thankfully, because my comprehension is small, very small at times, and it even goes beyond my compassion. You know, I feel for people, certainly, and of course, people that you know, you feel more for them, but it even goes beyond my compassion. Just tremendous. It says, likewise, the Spirit also helps with our infirmity, for we know not, and the word know is the word for perceive. How can I pray for that which I can't even perceive? I need to tap into something that is beyond human power and expectation, something that is extraordinary, which is spiritual intercession for the individuals. See, we ought to pray. And the word intercession means to intercede on behalf of another, to pray for and against. You intercede for the individual and against the adversary, against that which is attacking the individual. If it's sickness, that intercession is for that individual, and it is also against that which is attacking the individual. And, you know, I've seen viruses die. I've seen bacteria die. I've not literally seen it, but I'm aware of it, where the bacterias, the viruses, and all the other things that were involved are just totally gone. I've seen spirits move out. Just something. It's groanings which cannot be uttered, that which reaches beyond our comprehension and even beyond our compassion. Do you believe you can do this? Do you believe that God hears this prayer? Well, I'd like to answer that for you in a moment. But it says, but the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered, and he that searches the heart knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit, makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. The word mind here, the mind of the Spirit, this word mind means understanding, and it's an understanding that goes beyond words. An understanding that goes even beyond compassion and comprehension. It is a heart-to-heart communication mere words could never express. But in prayer, it describes it to a T. When I speak in tongues in my prayer life for an individual, for myself, for our family, for people I don't even know, that speaking in tongues is groanings which cannot be uttered. But it says, he, meaning God, searches the heart. That searches the heart, we know God searches the heart, knows what is the mind of the Spirit. It makes it a heart-to-heart communication mere words could not express, but in that prayer, it describes it to a T. I have a friend, a very dear friend of mine, that is a photographer, and he does amazing pictures. Some of his photographs are just, I look at them and I'm almost dumbstruck. The way he gets the lighting, and he loves to do, and his expertise is in children. But he does it with lighting and just the surroundings, you know, and he could be out in a field somewhere. But the way that the light strikes on the child and the face of that child, the expression in the eyes, I could not sit down and tell you or write out to you what that picture means, but it communicates something to me that I can't even express it to you in words. There's no words that can tell you. It shows this tenderness, this curiosity, yet and this innocence is all, just so many things are portrayed. I can give you little backgrounds and things, but I could never really express what's in that photograph. But if you saw the photograph, you'd know it exactly. I mean, you'd look at it and say, I know what you mean, Larry. That's what the Spirit does in that heart-to-heart communication to God. Mm-hmm. I know exactly what you mean. And God answers that to a T. It's a spiritual intercession. See, it communicates it. Because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And it is an intercession for that individual and against that which is attacking that individual or trying to hurt that individual. Beautiful. Beautiful. Just beautiful. Now, I want you to hold, put a ribbon here. And I'm going to read this verse one more time. But I would like for you to go to 1 John chapter 5. And while you're turning there, I want to read this verse to you one more time so that you have this set in your heart. Verse 27. And he that searcheth the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because it, the Spirit, makes intercession for the saints. What's the next words? According to the will of God. 1 John 5, verse 14. And this is the confidence that we have in him, in God, that if we ask anything, what? According to his will, he... So when I speak in tongues and I make intercession for the saints, or the Spirit of God within me is making intercession for the saints, that intercession is according to the will of God, according to Romans 8:27. In 1 John 5:14, it says, if I ask anything according to his will, he what? Whenever I make intercession and I sit and I speak in tongues for an individual, I am absolutely assured, there is no question in my mind, that God has heard it. There are other things that I may ask God that perhaps in English, in English and so forth, I may not, but I can absolutely rest assured, absolutely, that what I have requested by speaking in tongues for that individual, God has heard it. And what he has heard is a heart-to-heart communication between him and the Spirit of God that is within me that describes the situation to a T. I couldn't do better if I took a photograph of it. Isn't that beautiful?
Yeah.
Now it goes on to tell us in verse 15, and if we know that he, God, has heard us, hears us, hear us, whatsoever we ask. What does it say?
Ask.
Whatsoever we ask. Whatsoever we ask, we know. We know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. Amen and amen. So be it. Isn't that something? See, you just cannot miss on your intercession. Your expectations should be where God's expectations are. Our expectation, or let me just say it this way, our expectations can be where God's expectations are. Because he can do exceeding abundantly above all that I ask or think. So I'm expecting him to do more than what I ask for and greater than I think. And that Spirit of God helps describe that to a T, and God answers it because it's according to his will. Isn't that? You just can't miss anything. The word anything is indefinite. It literally is anything for anyone. It's in the indefinite. If we ask anything according to his will, and we know that when we speak in tongues and we make intercession for the saints according to the will of God, he absolutely has heard it. You can't miss. It's just so beautiful. And anything else, anything that would hinder or anything that would obstruct is overruled. Well, let's go back to Romans chapter 8. Because the genesis of all of this is in the love of God. Verse 28 says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love
God."
God. Do you love God? Mm-hmm. Well, if you're taking time to pray for an individual, to speak in tongues on their behalf, to make intercession for them and against the enemy, I would say that you love God. I would say it's a pretty good bet. The word "and" is a connective, which ties it to the other verses. So if I'm making intercession according to the will of God, and we know, it connects it to it. That all things work together for good. The word "good" is harmonious perfection. To them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. You could even look at it from the perspective of, with the result that we know all things work together for good. Or, so then, all things, we know all things work together for good. The emphasis and the, however you say it, the important part is all things work together for a harmonious perfection to them that love God. To them who are called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also
justified,
and whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be
against us?
Case closed. It overruled. Case closed. Whether it be a medical case or any other type of case, it's case closed. It's perfect intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And he has heard us. And if he heard us, we have the petitions that we requested. And that petition described the situation to a T. That's why, what shall we then say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us, how many? The next word, three letters. All. For us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us, what's the next word?
All.
Things. How shall, what could I, when I speak in tongues, what could I possibly request that he would not fulfill?
Impossible.
According to his will. Mm-hmm. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. What would he deny? see. And all objections and all hindrances, every one of them is overruled. Boy, oh boy. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Overruled. It's God that justifies. Who is he that condemns? He's overruled. Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. So it's not just me praying for the individuals and the Spirit of God at work within me, but it's also Christ making intercession for the individuals. And you remember what happened when he was alive, when he was living on this earth and ministering. They were all healed, and he healed all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. So, beautiful. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Oh, it's over, whoever it is overruled. Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Overruled. As it is written, for thy sake we're killed all the day long, we're counted as sheep for the slaughter? No, it's overruled. There is no objection or any type of hindrance. Every one of them has been overruled. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Because the genesis of all of this intercession, the genesis of our prayer, always starts with the love of God. And I'd like to close with 1 John chapter 4. Might as well go back to 1 John. See, why did the first century church walk with such a dynamic beyond human power and expectations, where that just the shadow of Peter passing by them might overshadow some of them, that they brought those that were vexed with devils and other diseases and things, and they were healed, every one? Why did it happen like that? Well, here it says in 1 John chapter 4, verse 16, and we have known and believed the love that God had to us. They knew it and they believed it. And when they knew it and they believed it, they lived like men and women who are loved by God. And when you live like a man or a woman who is loved by God, then fear goes. Disappointment leaves. Defeat is over with. The reason being, God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, which is today. Because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love, or perfected love, casteth out fear, because fear has torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. Words him aren't in the text. We love because he first loved us. It's not bad to add it. You know, we love God, but he first loved us. If he could do that for us before we even loved him, what do we have to be afraid of? Let's live like men and women who know and believe we are loved by God. And we'll get into the other parts of areas that I think we should give some focus to in being determined for deliverance. But I wanted to give these to you, especially in terms of your prayer life, and to raise your expectations to God's expectations. He can do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us.